Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I'm your host, Rich Owens, and joining me this week, it's Kev. Kev's here. Unfortunately, we've got no Jeb and no Callum. I was going to say sparse, but it's never sparse when you're with friends, even if it's just one friend. No Jeb, no Callum this week. Jeb is on holiday. There was a poll. I don't know who organised it, but it said people in the world who deserve a holiday the most. Jeb topped it. And Callum, he did, and he does. And Callum is having a wonderful day out with his wife looking at some castles, which I'm assuming he's considering buying because he's great and he deserves one. But Kev is here. Hello, mate. How are you today?
Hello, Rich. All the looking, Rich. Yeah, I'm good. I'm not looking at castles. I'm not in some far-flung country sunning myself. I'm here with you, and I think I've got the better end of the deal. What can I say? It's lovely to see you, Rich. Hope you're all right.
Thank you very much, man. Yeah, I'm good. I am good. I'm excited about this morning because it's not very often that as much as I love getting to hang out with multiple members of the team every week, it's not very often we kind of get that one-on-one time. So indeed. I think it's a special treat for me, special bit of Kev time, my favorite kind of time. I'm excited. Yeah, I'd rather be here. Castles, if you've seen a castle, you've seen all the castles. Yeah, they're great, but you've probably seen
lovely.
Them. And who wants to be on a really, really nice holiday sat somewhere sunny, drinking nice looking drinks all the time? Not me. That's who. I'd rather,
do you know, be something, Rich, to be totally truthful, right? Here's my truth. I'm sure Jebbery's having a lovely, lovely time, but I'm sitting on the south coast of England in like 22 degree temperatures and I can't cope with that. Why would I go anywhere warmer? For goodness sake? I've got a fan over the other side of the room. I've got a little mini one attached to my computer. I'm melting. It's only 22 degrees. I'm perfectly happy in a darkened room. Thank you very much.
This is true. This is very, very true. I am also a proud winter. Like the summer, it's fine. It's, you know, enjoy it if that's your thing.
Yeah.
Mrs. O has taken the kids off this morning to an outdoor kind of swimming pool Lido close to us. And I'm like, have the best time because I know all three of them will adore that. For me, that's a waking nightmare. 5 hours out in the sun with no shade. No, thank you. I mean, I'm sat in a dark room. I'm using a blanket to block out the sun because my curtains aren't very functional against actual direct sunlight. I've got a fan on and I genuinely couldn't be happier. This is heaven for me.
Perfect. And,
exactly.
It's why I got married in the winter when I got married several years ago. Now it's because I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't face wearing a suit in the summer, for goodness sake. I would just be a puddle. It would be ridiculous. So that was basically why we got married in the winter.
It's a smart move. It's a very, very, very smart decision. I struggle with heat anyway. So you are right. I got married, I think it was early May, and that was hot enough for me. It wasn't proper hot, but it was still quite hot, and I was like, no, this is difficult for me. This is very,
totally
very difficult.
No,
so I can appreciate your thought process there, Kev.
Welcome to the most British of British podcasts where we talk about
isn't
the weather.
It, though?
It's just what
isn't
we do.
It, goodness me, it's hot. Take notes, everybody. Look, we've given good advice on this podcast before. We've talked about things like training schedules. We've talked about how to get the most out of certain roles. If you're planning a wedding, do it in winter. All
absolutely.
Right, this is the most important thing we can possibly do.
Or at the minimum, autumn or somewhere around there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Summer weddings. It's a fool's game. It's a fool's game unless you enjoy sunshine. Then, in which case, have at it. You do you, podcast audience. Kev, I'm going to be honest with you, mate. I'm going to be honest with you.
Go for it. Please do.
We're thinking about what to do this week because it's just the two of us. It's just us two. And, you know, we've all been up to stuff. We've all had stuff going on over the past week or so because that's what we like to do. We like to recap. We like to find out what we've been up to. Mm-hmm. We've all been doing stuff. You know, I finally did a bit of a spooky stream earlier last week,
I was in for that one.
It was essentially, if you've watched last week's podcast, it was the face that I make when I'm trying to think of Premier League managers. But
sometimes the face that Callum makes when he realizes he's got a question wrong. There was some horror moments in your stream.
There was some true horror going on in that stream. So that was fun. That was a nice time. We'll do more of them in the future as well because I secretly enjoy it a little bit. But I kind of wanted to take a pause and take a little break from that kind of thing, Kev. Mm. That's right with you. Because do you remember a few weeks ago when we were planning for an episode where it was originally going to be just us two, and then fortunately we had Jebberu join us. You hijacked it and you just turned it all around on me, and you were like, oh, I'm going to hijack it. We're going to interview Rich Owens. And I was like, oh, this is self-indulgent, but sure, why not? Kev, I'd like to return the favor to you today, if that's all right. And I'd like to hijack the podcast. And I'd like to talk to my friend Kev about my friend Kev, if that's all right with you.
Well, that seems utterly self-indulgent. So, of course, I'm in. Let's do it.
Yes. Fantastic.
Absolutely. It's a really important thing, I think. And it's important that we do this with Jeb and Callum over the coming months as well, that, you know, we just get to know each other for ourselves, but also for the audience as well. You know, there are a lot of lovely people that take some time out of their schedule every week to listen into whatever it is we do. And I think it's important, you know, just to say who we are, who you're listening to, what we think and feel about some stuff occasionally. So I'm all in. Why not?
Fantastic. Excellent news. Now, and again, for newer listeners, if you've only been listening to the podcast for a short while, firstly, welcome. It's lovely to see you. We really, really like you.
Hi.
Longer term listeners may remember that it was only just over a year ago, actually, and it seems like a significantly larger amount of time ago. It was just over a year ago that my previous co-host, or the actual original host, Tony.
Co-host is fine. He's fine.
Co-host is fine, isn't it? He's gone now. It's Rich's podcast. Original host Tony and I, we had one of the original hosts. Hello, Matt. Goodness me, doing everyone a massive disservice. There was nobody before Tony and Matt. There was any darkness. There were no podcasts. Tony and I, we had Kev Oz and a guest. Kev was our fourth ever guest during Tony and I's run on FMT. And it was only, I did the maths, it was only 44 episodes ago that Kev appeared on our screens as a guest. But it feels to me, Kev, like since episode 85 of Football Analytics Therapy, which you can still watch on YouTube now, it's really, really good. Then, I feel like a lot's changed over the past year for you in terms of kind of just essentially what you do in terms of the content you create, in terms of the extracurriculars that you do. I mean, first and foremost, that we had a bit of a conversation just before we went live. In terms of, if we start with your content, Kev.
Yeah.
When you were on with Tony and I, we were talking about kind of, you know, there was the fantastic Loki Doki video about the Curious Case of the United City FM and your YouTube career, the fact that you were streaming as well. And when we spoke a year ago, when we had you on as a guest, you kind of announced that it was to be the end of your YouTube journey and the focus for you was going to be purely on live streaming and on Twitch. I guess a year later now, mate, how do we feel like that's gone? Has it been a weird transition going from two different mediums, or are you just delighted that you've decided to stick to the one?
there are lots of things to unpack on this bit. Just before I actually answer your question, can I say that previous episode where I guested, I've said it a few times in and around my space on Twitch and YouTube and other things. It's one of the most proud moments in my content creation stuff. I absolutely loved being on that show for that hour and a bit that we chatted. It's still one of the best things that I've done as a content creator. I think it unpacked a lot of good stuff. So there's a lot to live up to today, Rich. Good luck with that one. That's where I wanted to go with that. But yeah, I absolutely love it. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. I really, really rate it as a good show. It was a weird one, wasn't it? So I'd done YouTube for 3.5 years. It wasn't going anywhere. It was diminishing, not growing after the big Loki Doki stuff. So I made that decision to go to just become a streamer because I thought I would be better at it long term, having done it for about a year streaming, but still doing YouTube at the time. So yes, I did stop about a month after that appearance here. I did stop doing the YouTubes, and it was the right move. It was just the right move. It's been the right move for basically a year, you know. There are aspects of YouTube that I miss and aspects that I really, really don't. And I still maintain that I think I'm a better streamer than I am a YouTuber. I've had some interesting comments over the last few months. There's a couple of people out there that have got in contact with me basically to say, if you'd have listened to the advice that I gave you, you'd probably still be doing YouTube and all that kind of stuff. But my response was, but I got 2,000 people giving me different bits of advice. And actually, some of the advice, including yours, I wasn't able to do. Other people would have been, but it wasn't me. It didn't work for me. I couldn't find it. I couldn't do it. I wasn't good at it, or whatever it might be. And so it was absolutely the right move for me to stop YouTube. I don't really miss it as a thing to do. And I have absolutely loved my streams, and they go from strength to strength, it feels like, in the last 12 months that we'll touch on a little bit as we go. But yeah, it was the right move at the right time, and I'm incredibly happy where I currently am.
No, which is, I think that is reflected in the content that you make, because a highlight of my day, if I ever have the opportunity to catch a Kev stream, I am 100% in Kev streams. Work commitments don't allow me to do it too often, unfortunately, but when I do, it's a genuine pleasure. Because I know it's a phrase that you've touched on previously as well. You know, you don't necessarily see yourself as a content creator. You're a community maker, which I absolutely adore, by the way. Because because it's so accurate. Like, a United City FM stream is just the most welcoming, lovely, friendly place. And it has been for a really, really long time. Do you think there's anything that you do that's kind of cultivated that? Or do you think that's just an extension of the person kind of that you are? Because it comes through in your streams, and that's just the environment that your personality cultivates.
Yeah, I think it's that ultimately. I blame my dad for it, because he was, you know, the same sort of type of person, really. To pull back the curtain on him a little bit, he died a few years ago, bless him, miss him a lot. But he was a church minister by trade. So I kind of grew up in that kind of context. But he was always just upfront doing stuff and being with people and guiding people and leading stuff, you know, things. And so I kind of just gravitate towards bits of that, really. And I've done sort of some of that in some of his context from years ago as well, but also just in my own way. But it's just the extension of that. So yeah, it is that. I, you know, whatever it is that I produce, the reason I say that I'm not a content creator at this point is because I feel like I attempted to create content on YouTube, and I don't think it went brilliantly well. The realization for the streams is that the content that I create is just putting me in front of a camera. That's my content. And so I don't really see it as I'm not a creative sort to come up with unique and interesting ideas. My streams are quite simple. My YouTube videos are quite simple. But the content that I create is just by putting me in front of a screen and just chatting to people. And if you come into my stream and I ask you how you're doing, or, you know, wish you a happy Friday, for some, it will just sound like it's the thing that I say, just because, you know, people feel that way sometimes. But for me, it's a genuine thing. If I can get people chatting, then they're more likely to stay. And if they're more likely to stay, the thing is, ultimately, Rich, they're going to enhance my afternoon more than I'm going to enhance them, primarily, in that sense, is the way that I see it. And that's my entire goal, is to, you know, enhance my afternoon, make it better, but attempt to bring some joy to other people. And that's the whole focus of my streams. There is nothing else to them. I have no ulterior motives of any sort. I just want to be with people, because it's the best way I can do that at this point. Another little aside to that is, since the pandemic, I think a lot of people have struggled with social situations in a lot of senses of, you know, what we're now able to do, should be doing, how precautionary should we be. To be honest, I also think there's a little bit of, it was quite a simple life when we were in the pandemic and we didn't have any concerns about other things, because you just kind of kept yourself to yourself. And I think if I'm not careful, that's what I do. I just keep myself to myself. My physical limitations mean that I'm at home a lot. My wife goes to work, I don't. So my mixing with people isn't as strong. So ultimately, this is my social outlet, as well as just, you know, a project and purpose and all the other lovely things that we've talked about in the past, you know. So yeah, long-winded. It's just me. It's what I do.
but it's so refreshing. That's one of the things I love about it, is that it's never come across as anything but genuine. So when you're streaming and you touch on them, when Kev says to somebody, how are you? It's because Kev wants to know. It's because you want to know. And I don't think there are a huge amount of people that actually resonates with or enough. You know, it's because it's sometimes from somebody say, how's it going? Just being polite. But the way I feel about it is that Kev, you really want to know, and you really do care about the people in your chat and the people watching your streams. And the way that, you know, the relationships that you've cultivated with people in your chat is, again, it's that should be the benchmark. Like, if there are people who are, you know, thinking about getting into content creation or thinking about getting into streaming, because you want those interactions with people. If you want to do, as Kev says, it's community creation rather than content creation. If you're a community coordinator, if you're organizing that collective of people, Kev, yours is the benchmark for how you should do that. It's really, really refreshing to watch you doing that with people on such a regular basis. And it never feels forced. It never feels like it's phoned in. And that for me is one of the reasons that I just really, really like you.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I know my limitations is another way to look at all of this. And having done YouTube for 3.5 years and realized what some of my limitations were there, it was just a moment of clarity to focus on what my skill set is. And what my skill set is just, you know, I'm a fairly chilled out, positive kind of guy. That's the vibe I like. I don't do conflict. I really hate it in any context, if I'm totally honest. I hope that doesn't make me, in some situations, weak. I think it probably does at times, you know, because I'm not as able to project what I think is right and wrong. Sometimes I just kind of step back and go, you know, you do you kind of thing. But ultimately, it's just what I do. It's who I am. And I've realized what my limitations are. I'm within the context of streaming. My limitations are not always very good at the game, Rich. So you have to cover that up by just being nice to people and hope they don't notice. That's the plan, you know. We have a long-standing thing going between myself and Gavin Brash. Now, we all love Gavin. Gavin's lovely, a bit of a rocker by heart. Loves his like heavy music and all that kind of stuff, and chucks that all over his streams. Of course, mine is lo-fi music, but we always claim that we're streaming twins. And if you come into our streams, you'll not notice any difference between the two vibes. It's just the way it is. But I know what my limitations are. I know where I fit. There's no point in me trying to be Gavin. There's no point in me trying to be Zealand or anybody else. You know, you just kind of have to do you. And for me, there is no content. There is only community. And I know my limitations and I stick to it ultimately. And it brings me joy.
And that is such an incredibly like sensible way of looking at it. You know, I think a lot of the time, and I've been involved in a number of different kind of creative things over the years, you know, through streaming, through comedy, previously through music. I think a lot of the time you meet people who they want to do something, but they don't know how to do it. So they're like, well, I really like, you know, I really like Zealand, or I really like the White Stripes. So I'm going to try and be Zealand, or I'm going to try and be the White Stripes, or I'm going to try and be like Adam Rowe, or I'm going to try and be somebody else, because those people are really, really good at what they do. And that's what I want to do. And if I'm going to be really good, I have to do what they're doing. And it never works. It never works for those people. I think the most important thing that you can do when you're doing anything creative is just to embrace who you are. Because as long as you're doing that, just let people know who you are, what you're about, and somebody will latch onto that and somebody will enjoy that. And that's what you've done wonderfully.
And I think that's there's an important point to make in that is absolutely right. You have to be true to yourself. You have to do what you are capable of doing. Embrace that. Now, what that sometimes means, if you are still looking around at other people, that you might not be as successful, for want of a better terms, as a couple of those other people that you have looked up to and think they're doing their thing incredibly well, etc. Because you're not them. It's a different vibe. It's a different feel. It's a different audience that you're attracting for various ways. You know, there are lots and lots of Football Manager streamers out there these days doing it in various ways. And we can all go round to all of those different Football Manager streamers, and not all of them will connect to us for whatever reason. Style of content, how they play the game, personality types, quality of, you know, the visual of what they're doing, or whatever it might be. And I'm totally at peace with the fact that if I don't get any more people in than I currently have, then this is what I attract, and that's absolutely fine. And it's more successful than I could have ever given it credit for. And that would be the case if there were three people in there every day, just because why would I have an expectation of anything different, really?
Sure, absolutely. And again, that is a really, really healthy mindset to have. I know, again, friend of ours, OGFM listener, FMT listener, big Taff man. I know Jeb's a very, very good friend of his. One of the best pieces of advice that Taff gives people when it comes to streaming is just turn the viewer counter off. Because if you know, having that interaction, sometimes you'll have streams where you're having that interaction with just one or two people, and you sit there and chat to them for 2 or 3 hours, and it's wonderful. They might be the only 2 or 3 people that are watching your stream, but it's 2 or 3 hours of human interaction, and it's building that relationship with people, which is what I love. Whereas there are people that will focus on that and go, oh, well, I had 2 or 3 people active in chat for that my whole stream, but they were there only 2 or 3 people there. So what's the point? I was like, no, the point was you've gotten to know those people. And after those 2 or 3 hours, those people, I can guarantee, will come back and they will watch pretty much all the content you create or every stream that you do, because you've built that relationship with them. And it's a really, really wonderful thing to do. I mean, Kev, you've touched on, you know, you say you it's the community side of things. It's not the content side of things for you. And also that the game might have been a little bit unkind to you this year. there are bits that I would disagree with there, because in terms of the content of your stream, you're playing Football Manager. Your save idea this year is spectacular. For my money, I think it's one of the best long-term Football Manager saves on the platform this year. I think it's absolutely spectacular. Homeward Bound, it's given a story, it adds narrative, it lets the people watching you see different sides of you. My question for you really is, where did that idea come from? And in terms of what you do on a regular basis, how do you think that save has kind of impacted kind of the growth of your community over the last year or so?
So the save idea was just one of those real amazing happenstance. I was basically trawling the internet trying to find ideas of some, you know, and there are various ways you do it. My suggestion, if you want ideas, type in Football Manager 2023 ideas or something, and forums are out there with stuff on them. So I was basically doing that a couple of months out from the game launching, trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do, because the previous time, FM22, I was in Scandinavia, and actually that impacted my channel a lot. If you come in, there are a lot of Scandi guys and girls around the stream from that kind of area that found me through that. So you've always got to find an idea somewhere. So I was looking for ideas, and I literally was on a forum, and there was 5 great ideas, and one of them happened to say Homeward Bound. And it was a simpler idea than what I've got, slightly. I've added to it a little bit, but it was basically that thought: start somewhere else and work your way home by winning things to move. And that was the basics of what I found on the forum. To be honest, at this point, I couldn't tell you who it was that posted it. Fair play to them. Lots of love to them for the idea. But that's what I found. And so I had that in, you know, along with 2 or 3 other ideas that I'd found around the internet as well, and had it in the back of my head for a little while. And it just sort of sat there sort of permeating a little bit. And I just thought, well, I think there's a germ of something there. But what do we do to make it a little bit more treacherous, or a little bit more, you know, there's something more at stake or whatever. So then the idea for me was that simple thought: well, okay, if you succeed, you move and you continue to work towards your home country and win that title, and it'd be great. But if you don't succeed, there has to be some jeopardy. And the jeopardy became, well, if you don't win the league in three seasons, there is your time restraint. And then if you don't, you have to move sideways, not forwards, and add more countries to the journey. And that literally could take you anywhere. I could end up going backwards on myself and be halfway around the other side of the world if it doesn't work out. And that was the bit to me that went, okay, now there's an idea in that, because what we find, I don't know about you, Rich, you did a stream this week where you were attempting to play a game where there were going to be some jump scares and a bit of a concern here and there and stuff, because people love to watch it. They do. They love to watch people suffer in some way. And for me to show up and go, look at my lovely trip across Europe being all successful and great and getting home and winning it in, you know, five seasons out of five just to get through five leagues and win it, isn't interesting. It's just not. It gets dull very quickly. So the jeopardy was put in there, and that created the idea. And there is a moment of my in my ultimate humility suggests, I think you're right. I think it's a great idea. I think it's worked out really well. And it's had an impact on my channel in the sense of everybody that comes in and says, what are you doing? And you say, this is what I'm doing. They go, oh, that's interesting. And they stick around for a while, and some longer than others, all that kind of stuff, which is great. But there's a hook to it. And it's the biggest piece of advice I'd give anybody just playing Football Manager for themselves, let alone doing content or whatever it is that we do. Find a reason to do it. My reason to do it, the story thread, is I've got to get home. I've got a challenge, and it's going to send me sideways if I don't do it well and other bits and pieces. But there's a hook to it and a reason, and things will constantly be on the move and reshaped every couple of seasons here and there as you move and change things. Find a reason to do it, because if you just play the game for the game's sake, eventually it doesn't quite have the same pull.
No, absolutely. And I think that for me, that's, again, it's excellent advice, because just turning on a stream, playing the game for the sake of playing the game, eventually you're going to have there's going to be no reason for you to play the game. But, you know, that's the beauty of a game like Football Manager. You can create those extra little stories, you can create those narratives, and that's what keep people interested. And that for me is one of the other wonderful things about your streams, Kev, is that, you know, you have the reputation of being the nicest man in the Football Manager community. And it's a reputation that has been well earned. It's not just one that's been just randomly given to you. But the nice thing for me is, and I've been in your chats when it's been going really, really well, and I've been in your chats when the save hasn't been going as well. And everybody, and the way I always think about it is that, you know, as you said, when it comes to things like the jump scares and the horror games, people want to see that because it's fun. But it's not just because it's somebody going, oh, that's scary, or oh no, this isn't going very well. It's because they're invested in that person. We could all watch people going, oh no, a spooky thing has happened. But when it's somebody that you like, or somebody that you've invested time into, it's better. And I think, you know, one of the people say it all the time, if you're a Twitch streamer and you're not getting gently ribbed by your chat, then it means that your chat aren't really there. They're not really that invested in you if you're not taking pelters on the odd occasion. So the thing I really, really do enjoy is that when it's not going brilliantly in the save, you know, people are, oh, it's not going well, is it, Kev? Hey, isn't it really, really funny? But deep down, I think because it's you, everybody is rooting for you. So when it's not going well, people are like, oh, isn't it funny it's not going well? One more season here. But when it goes well, everybody is just so delighted for you. And I think that's what kind of really, really comes through for me, because it's, again, there aren't many people out there that when the good things happen, the people are genuinely as happy for you as the ones people in your chat are. Like when we get the save updates, and you know, when it goes well, when you got out of Hungary, I was genuinely delighted for you. Like, I think when we were sat there and talking about how hypothetically might happen, my big takeaway from that episode for the next couple of hours was like, he's going to do it. He's absolutely going to do it. And I'm going to be so happy when he does. And I was. It's that level of investment. And I think that's just a reflection on who you are as a person, that people are that happy for you when it comes down to what are essentially just pretend football scores.
It's an odd thing with that. So when it's going really badly, I mean, like in FM terms really badly. And, you know, the board are out for blood and you're having to go through three boardroom meetings every stream for 3 days in a row and all that stuff. Trust me, it's utterly soul destroying. It's a bizarre thing. It shouldn't matter in any way. You should be able to stroll into a stream that you're playing Football Manager and go through three boardroom meetings, come out the other end and go, oh, well, it's just the game. But it matters somehow. Mm-hmm. And it's utterly soul destroying. And the worst feeling in the world is sitting in the middle of 50 people all going, it's not going great, is it? And you literally have no idea how to solve it. Mm-hmm. And you know there's lots of mechanisms you could try and things you should do or could do or whatever, but you've got no understanding as to what's going to change it. And the last thing you want to do is look a bit silly and fail on stream, although it's highly entertaining for all the viewers, etc. So that is, you know, there is an element of that going on in the background of all of these moments. But it's great content. It's great content because what it is more than anything else, and I think it's probably the same point that I'm making several times over, but I think it's worth understanding this. If you are trying to be a streamer or you want to be a streamer or, you know, whatever, is that ultimately... I've lost my train of thought. This happens to me occasionally. What was I saying,
it's
Rich?
It's off the tracks. Just talking about, you know, just the successes and failures on stream, you know, it's like when you sat there, when everything is going wrong, I think I was picking up on that. I'm thinking it's just one of the most important thing when it comes to that is accepting your mistakes. I think for me, that's one of the things that I would take from that is that you could have a stream, you know, if you've got a stream and you're like, hey, we're undefeated in 400 games and we're going to be undefeated in 500 because we've built the best team in the universe, then it is what it is. But it's that sense of jeopardy with Football Manager. It's that sense of jeopardy. And when you're in those situations where it's not going well, you know, I think you need to be able to learn. You've got to be adaptable and you've got to be able to think on your feet. So, okay, how can I turn this into something more positive? Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, just leaving Mexico forever and pretending you never managed there or whatever it may be, there's going to be a solution.
I'm going to watch this episode back at some point, and I am going to absolutely know what my point was going to be at that moment. And at the moment, I genuinely don't know what it was going to be. But come and ask me about it, somebody, because I'll tell you.
Ask Kev in the comments. Give it a couple of days. Ask him in the comments. But in fairness as well, with a game like Football Manager as well, like you say, you're there, you're in those board meetings, your chat's there, 50 odd people watching United City stream, like it's not going very well. Football Manager is just such a weird beast because finding yourself in that situation where it's not going very well, it's not like streaming another game. It's not like, oh, I'm streaming. I stream Resident Evil on Monday. We talk about the spooky games. If in Resident Evil, I'm running down a corridor and there's a zombie around the corner that I didn't know was there and he jumps out and he bites me and I die. I've died. It'll just revert me back to my last save and I'll try again and I'll carry on. Football Manager, when it comes to getting sacked on FM, that would be like the equivalent of like you die in Resident Evil, but then before you're allowed to start the game again, you have to sit there for 5 minutes while the game explains to you why you were so bad at the game. It's like, you were so bad at this that we had to kill you. We had to. So we didn't have a choice, but we had to do it. And it could be about half an hour before you're allowed to load your save back up again, before you're allowed to carry on playing the game. It could take that long. But we just want you to know, but we really want you to know that this happened because you're terrible at this game. There aren't many others that do that. So it's especially being there live in front of an audience under that kind of pressure as well. It's not the easiest thing in the world. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
I'll tell you the other thing. Okay, here's a discussion point, and we would get sort of 10 different answers from 10 different people. I have had some challenging moments in FM23. It hasn't gone particularly my way a lot of the time. There have been some moments where I've really struggled. The question is, am I bad at this version of the game? Or is this version of the game a bad version of the game? And all of those questions that have been going around the community for the last sort of 6 months, a little bit, I think is an interesting thing. So I think that this is not the strongest iteration of Football Manager that we've had. I think it's very similar to what we've had before, but I think there are some difficulties within the match engine that, or the, yeah, the match engine rather than the graphics engine, but they kind of go hand in hand a little bit as how it actually plays. And the, you know, the fact that I've always said my strikers are incredibly intelligent and my defenders are incredibly stupid. And I think that's impacted the enjoyment of my FM23 journey so far this time around. But I also totally accept that through it, I wasn't doing all the things I should be doing as a pseudo manager of a football club to try and make my football club be the best it can be. I was kind of resting on my laurels and thinking, well, I've played this game for 25 years and just this usually works, so why isn't it, kind of thing. And, you know, training is a thing. We talked about training over the last few months here on the pod, and I have implemented my own training programs. Now, what I'm not saying is that because I implemented my training programs, I spent a season and a bit in Hungary and then moved out of the country, and then I'm in Serbia and it's currently going very well and I might be on a one and done season. I'm not saying that my training is responsible for that, but I'm kind of saying it might be. I mean, you know, it might just be I'm doing a couple of bits and pieces that I wasn't doing before that is actually having an impact on my squad and making the players that I've always thought my squads are pretty well put together with some decent players for the level I'm playing at. It wasn't showing it consistently before. Maybe it is now, and maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. Do I think Football Manager 23 is brilliant? No. Do I think it's good? Absolutely. Do I love the franchise? Absolutely. Never won't. But I think it's time for a little bit of a change in some of the aspects of the game to freshen it and move it and shape it. And maybe next time around that they do that, whether it's this coming 24 or whether it's in 25, 26, whenever, maybe when they do that, I'll be really, really even worse at it, or, you know, maybe much better at it somehow. It will fit me for whatever reason. We all have our different ways of playing. And I think sometimes we just fit an iteration and sometimes we don't. This time around, I don't feel I have totally, but I still love the game.
Sure. I think that's a sensible way of looking at it. You know, I would love nothing more than to accidentally become the best Football Manager 24 player in the world. Just completely by fluke, it just turns out the things that I'm doing will work in next year's game. But I think you've got a very well-rounded and you've got a very kind of sensible approach to it all. You know, if you were somebody who wasn't as sensible and well-rounded in terms of your approach, I might recommend to you some kind of Football Manager therapy. But you're already getting that, Kev. You're already getting that on a regular basis, because I think that's I think that's kind of the next big thing to talk about over what's changed for you recently, is that obviously we've talked about a lot about your first appearance on podcast, you know, this time last year. And since then, you're now a regular fixture of podcast, which is really, really, really wonderful. I mean, and feel free to be very, very honest here, Kev. How's that going?
It's a mind warp in a way, in the sense that I was listening to this show for a year and a half before, you know, I became a co-host of it. To guest on the show was just incredibly cool in itself. I mean, I've always had a lot of time for Tony, who, you know, previous underling to you or something in his role here. I can't remember what he did, but you know, I've always had a lot of time for him. I've known of him and known him a little bit for about the last 3 years or 4 years in the content space. We played a draft competition together in the very early days, about 3-4 years ago. So I've always known him. So I've always listened to the stuff he does. I got introduced to you through the podcast, if I'm totally honest. That's where I found Rich, was when you became a member of the presenting team here on the podcast. And so to be a guest on it was amazing. And I really, really do occasionally go back to that episode and think that was some good content. And then when was it? About October time, September, October, November time, somewhere in there, I got a message from Rich basically saying, I'm being abandoned. He's a meanie poopy head. I need some new friends that are not going to abandon me and be meanie poopy heads. Do you want to be one of those and come and do some stuff on the pod? And I did have to think about it because, you know, my natural instinct for all of these things is, am I capable? Are people going to want it? Is it the right thing for me and them and, you know, all sorts of other bits and pieces? So I took a little moment to think about it, but ultimately decided, yeah, it's something that I'm interested in. I love the show. I think that I can add something to it. And I didn't really know what it would be necessarily at that point, just me ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go, give it an opportunity and see where it takes me. And what I've said along the last few months is that in FM22, the best thing that I did within my FM22 journey was be part of the FM playoffs. Mm-hmm. And in my FM23 journey, the best thing that I've been part of is the FMT podcast. And I do genuinely mean that. I really do. You know, whereas in those early days of the FM playoffs, it was just an absolute delight and still is to be invited to do it. And I am still occasionally baffled as to the fact that I get invited back, which is lovely. And I absolutely love doing it. It's exactly the same sort of thing for the FMT pod. We are sitting here. Currently 20 past 11 on a Sunday morning. And I really look forward to these couple of hours every week, you know, whether it's Callum, Jeb, you, me, or a combination of the four of us, or we have a guest on, or we're, you know, preparing for the network save coming up on a Monday evening, or whatever it is that we do collectively. I love it. Because I love you guys. I'm getting to know you more and more. You know, we share a few life things that happen occasionally behind the scenes now and, you know, begin to just get a broader picture of who we are. I'm really, really looking forward to meeting up with everybody on the 29th. We'll talk about the 29th of July in a little while. But I'm really looking forward to that opportunity to actually physically be in the same space as everybody. But I love FMT, and it's given me another platform, another voice, another thing to be part of, a thing to be part of with other people, which is really important. If you are slightly confined and isolated, as I am as a general rule through disability things and other things, to have that and to be a part of a team of people doing something and pulling in the right same direction, should I say, is a really fantastic thing. So again, it's meant a huge deal to me. And I think we're getting better at it all the time. Now, whether or not this episode follows that pattern or not, I'm not the one to say. I'm sure that the viewers will let us know. But I do genuinely feel like, for example, last week, when the four of us were actually together, which hasn't happened as much as we'd like because Jeb specifically has been really, really busy and warrants his holiday. But it's great. And it felt fantastic to be together. Mm-hmm. And it felt like we were in a good flow and all that kind of great stuff. So I'm loving it. I don't know where it's going to take us over the next little while. I really have no idea. But it's going to be a lot of fun because we make it fun.
Absolutely. There's a fun fact for you, the viewers. I think, Kev, you were outside of myself and Matt. I think you were the first person that knew that Tony was leaving podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So again, for a little look behind the scenes, I think we might have told this story before. Tony and I were approaching the 100th episode of FMT, and we were looking for a guest. So Tony reached out to some of the guys from SI, and we were trying to get a guest from SI on. And in reaching out to SI, I'd say, hey, we want to come and have a little guest appearance on our podcast for our 100th episode. They just invited, instead they counter offered, do you want to come and host the Football Manager podcast, the Football Manager podcast? Do you want to come and host that instead of the Football Manager show?
It was primarily Ian McIntosh, wasn't it?
Yes. We're trying to get Ian on. Yes, Ian from The Athletic. Hello, words. Tired. Hot. So hot today. He's trying to get Ian McIntosh. Thank you. Thank you, Kev. Good job you're here.
Yeah.
Trying to get Ian. And Ian counter-offered the Football Manager show to Tony. And he told me, and I was like, we obviously have to say yes. Like, there's no universe where you turn this down. Like you quite clearly say yes. And then it was all happening very, very quickly. So we realized that, you know, I think between those conversations and Tony leaving pod, a couple of weeks, if that, it was very, very quick. So we didn't have long to kind of plan because this is all kind of happening around the launch of FM23 as well. So it was a really, really strange time of year. So we didn't have long to make plans. Tony asked me what I wanted to do. He said, do you want, you know, would you, he said, I assume you'd want to carry on. And I said, yes, I would like to because I'm having fun. And then we started talking about the plans of who we could bring in, what we could do. I drew up a 3-person shortlist. I had a list of 3 names that I wanted for FMT. And those names were Kev, Alice, and Jebaru. And I will maintain to my dying day, I'm delighted that I managed to get all 3. Kev was the first person I reached out to because Kev was the first name on the list. I messaged Tony and I was like, right, I'm thinking names. I'm thinking about Kev. And he was like, yeah, clearly Kev is the right answer. Like, obviously Kev. And Kev was the first person I reached out to. So outside of myself and Matt, Kev, you were the first person that found out. I don't know, you kind of touched upon there about, you know, you took a little bit of time to think about what it was that you were potentially going to bring to podcast, what your contribution could be. It was just you. I just wanted Kev because that the conversation that we had, you know, when you were a guest on pod, was an absolute joy. And I was like, I want more of that in my life. And spending more time around you after that podcast, be it through playoff panels, be it through just checking out a stream, whatever it may be, I was like, I just need more Kev in my life. So getting you involved has been one of the highlights of this for me. And I think you're right. I think now we've got Callum on board as well. I think when the 4 of us are together, it's wonderful. I really, really do. You know, I value my Sundays with my friends. I really, really enjoy my time with Kev, and I enjoy it with Jeb and with Callum enormously. And I think, and again, the premise of this was always going to be, I want a team in place because I'm fully aware that making a regular weekly commitment to something is a really, really big ask of people because people have lives, people have all these kinds of things going on. And the way I saw it was, if I put this collective of people together, then there are going to be weeks where people have other commitments. Like this week, Jeb is on holiday, and rightly so. Like Callum is having a really, really nice day out with his wife looking at castles, and I hope he's having a great time. I hope you see a portcullis because those are really, really good. But you know, it's like I wanted to set this up so I wasn't commanding too much of people's time. But I really do now value the times that we're all available together because those are the best. I loved last week's episode because it was the first time in a long time the 4 of us have been able to spend a couple of hours together. It was great fun. I'm equally loving this week because I'm just enjoying the time and getting to spend with you, Kev. But you know, it's that really, really nice thing. I don't like to say hit our stride because that maybe brings in complacency, but I think pod's in a good place. And I'm also excited to see where it goes. I think the 29th of July is going to be huge fun. One of the only, I think if I look back at the last, you know, kind of year I've spent on podcast in general, I think one of the only negatives that I can look at from the last year is that I haven't actually got to meet you in person yet, Kev. So the 29th of July for me is going to be like Christmas. I'm genuinely, that's the big thing for me, is I get to spend the day with Kev. So cannot wait for that.
Shall we talk about this a little bit? Not specifically the 29th, but the thought absolutely. Of meeting up a little bit, because I think there's some interesting stuff I want to say with regards to that. So I think I'm getting a little bit of a reputation for myself within the 4 walls of our podcast that if Rich specifically decides that he's going to be anti-Rich for the day, Kev doesn't like it very much and tries to put a stop to it because I'm all about trying to build Rich up as much as I can because I love Rich and he's a cool dude. And that is, you know, that is just the way it is. There are moments where I have been called out upon it by Rich and a couple of other people in that I'm not always practicing what I preach within myself either, because we're all broken humans who have issues and all sorts of other things. Yeah, absolutely. So 29th of July comes up, where the previous live recording for the podcast was last November up in Nottingham. A random Monday evening in Nottingham, you got like 85 people in a room or whatever it was, and that's incredible. And I couldn't make it, and there are a number of reasons why I couldn't make it. At that particular point, my health wasn't as good as it could be, and that happens randomly. Right, here's the rub for you, Rich, because this is about this is a moment where I express some of my vulnerabilities in terms of who I am sure. and what I actually don't like about myself in lots of ways. So I am going to be meeting, I don't know, let's say 50 to 100 people on the 29th of July, all of which I've had an interaction with, or most of which I've had an interaction with at times. But look at your screen, Rich. What can you currently see of me? Literally.
I can see a very, very handsome face, and I can see some quite broad looking shoulders backing them up.
Okay.
Delightful facial hair. And a nice candle and some flowers in the background.
Yeah, thanks.
They don't bring those. That'd be weird.
That's fine. I'll try not to. But here's the rub for you, okay? I am a disabled man. I am an overweight man because of my inability to move. It has an impact on all of that kind of stuff. And what I show of the world is my shoulders and my face, and they're all right. And what I don't show of the world, not because I choose not to specifically, but it just kind of never happens in the context, is that I don't show my disability. People have a limited understanding of the fact that I have a disability that has problems with how I move and what that may or may not feel like and look like and other things. Until you actually see me walk, you don't quite understand what it looks like for me to walk and the effort that I have to put in to do so and all that kind of stuff. Until you see me on the 29th of July, you don't understand what it looks like for me to be nearly 22 stone in weight since the pandemic and have ballooned up a little bit and all that stuff. And I have so many insecurities about who I am and what I have and how that is viewed and all sorts of other things. But it won't stop me being there on the 29th of July because I still want to really meet up with people. So when I'm telling Rich that Rich is an awesome guy and I love Rich and I think he should be a little bit more kinder to himself and a little bit more, you know, supportive of the things he does and the awesomeness that he is, doesn't mean that I'm all sorted. Doesn't mean that I've got no issues. It just means that I care about people enough to want to try and build them up and rather than put them down. And there's so much gumph out there these days of people putting people down. And I'm just a bit bored of it. So I try and do the opposite where I can, but it doesn't mean I'm sorted. If you come and find me on the 29th of July, know that I will be an internal mess in moments along the way until I just find a way to be at ease in the situation that we're in, and then it will be a lot of fun. But I'm not sorted. I just care. That's all it is.
That's,
you know,
that's all you can ask for, Kev. That's all you can ask for. It's the caring that endears people to you. And no, you've hit the nail on the head there, pal, is that nobody is really okay. Everyone's got stuff going on. I can use as a prime example for that. When I got to Nottingham for the podcast record on the Monday afternoon, there was a big group of us all kind of, we all agreed to meet somewhere, all agreed to meet in a pub, and then people started arriving, and like Murph was there, Alice turned up, Henry, loads and loads of cool people. It was constantly just this influx of people, just more and more people showing up. And then after about half an hour, Matt turned up, and I hadn't seen Matt for a little while anyway. And then we both just kind of realized that, oh, there's too many people here suddenly. And these are all people who, don't get me wrong, I was like really, really looking forward to getting to see me, because this was my, you know, Nottingham was my first proper social meetup with anybody from the community. Mm-hmm. So like with the exception of Matt and Jeb, I had not met a single person before. Mm-hmm. I'd met Tony before that day, which was bonkers, but the amount of time we'd spent together, but I hadn't actually physically been in the same room as him. And suddenly I just, and again, this is, you know, I'm a neurodiverse adult and, you know, crowds cause me a bit of bother at the best times anyway. And even though I'm in a place surrounded by people that I want to be in that place with, Matt turned up and I was like, mate, suddenly this is just a little bit too much. And he was like, yeah, this is a little bit too much. So we just had to go and just sit in the back corner of the pub together, just away from everybody else for a bit. And on the one hand, we were like, oh, this probably just makes us look like we're being like proper arses, because like, well, actually we're from the podcast, so we're going to go hang out backstage. It was actually just a table 6 feet away from everybody else. But realistically, it was like, right, we just need a little bit of, just need a minute just to acclimatize ourselves to the fact that we're in this place with these people, and it's a lot of people, and we just need to just ease into that. And then by the end of the evening, it was, you know, but post podcast, that was some of the best fun I've ever had, just getting to spend the evening with everyone, have some drinks, mm-hmm. get to meet everybody properly as well. This is brilliant now. Mm-hmm. But you know, sometimes that happens, you know, on the surface everything might seem okay, but there's always bits and pieces going on underneath. So mm-hmm. and that's nothing to ever be ashamed of or worried about, because
no, absolutely.
That's just an important part of coping and being who you are.
And just to reiterate, just because I've expressed some of my vulnerabilities doesn't mean I'm not going to be on you every time you're down on yourself from this point onwards. You can't just continue to use it against me, because I'm still going to try and build you up. It's what we do.
All right. Fine. I will accept that. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Everybody needs a Kev in their life. Everybody needs a Kev. I'm lucky I have a Kev. But if you don't have a Kev, get yourself a Kev, because they are spectacular. Like, honestly, there are genuinely moments in my day where I will sit there, especially at work, and sometimes I'm going through difficult situations at work because my job isn't the easiest, because I work with a lot of vulnerable people. But I will, some genuinely, there have been times when I sit there and I think, right, how would Kev handle this situation? And that has helped me, like, exponentially. Just taking a second to think, like, right, what would Kev do in this particular circumstance, this difficult situation? How would Kev handle this? Kev would say something nice. Kev would say something objectively kind, but helpful and rational. And let's use that as a building block. And you would be shocked how helpful that is day to day. It's incredible. So, love you, Kev.
Oh, wonderful. Right back at you. What can we talk about now?
Yeah. What can we talk about now? Oh, God. Should we talk about something depressing instead? Because we've talked about the happy and we've talked about the uplifting. We should probably try and balance it out. Kev, you're a Manchester United fan. How is that working out for you at the moment, pal?
Well, if you'd have asked me a year ago, I was in despair mm-hmm. over it all in a lot of ways. And there are still moments where that might be the case. But you see, what's happened in the last year, really, is that this bloke called Eric has shown up. And we like Eric a lot. Eric's really cool. Mr. Ten Hag, our manager of this last season, I think did a really good job. And all of a sudden, whilst there are tons of things about my football club that I absolutely despise in every way possible, he's great. I can really feel like I can back him and support the thought that in Eric I trust. And if he wants something to happen, then that's the route that we should go down, definitely. But here's the rub. We are in a weird situation of, are we going to get a takeover of the club? Who knows? If we do, mm-hmm. are there people coming in that you would want to be owning your club? Who knows? You know, there's all sorts of problems within that particular setup. Maybe it means that we're in a summer transfer window where not a lot is happening at the moment, and they're going to use that as an excuse at the back end of the summer. You can feel it coming already, that there was, you know, just uncertainty as to who, but the people that are making the excuses are the people that are in control of changing that, and they're not choosing to do so. But having had 15 years of the Glazers and problems, and absolutely 20 years before that of the Fergie era, which was magnificent in every way possible, the last year has actually been quite nice. Ten Hag's come in, put a squad together that looked reasonably good, put a team on the pitch that could kick a ball around and actually find their own players occasionally and, you know, get a few goals here and there. Not as many as we'd like. A few problems along the way, but all pretty good. But actually, it's not bad. If we could just sell the blooming club and get the Glazers out, I'd be ecstatic about that. And then I'd feel like we're in a decent position to actually move forward. But it's been a bit of a roller coaster over the last sort of decade or so. I haven't enjoyed much of it, but I'm a Man United fan because I happened to catch them in the 1983 FA Cup final at the age of 7 and thought, I'm going to choose the winner to support because I don't know who mm-hmm. else to support. And I got Man United. And to be honest, because of the Fergie era and all that stuff, I have no right to complain about anything, really. And that's absolutely fine and right. But again, it doesn't alter the fact that for a decade, it's been really blooming awful and problematic in the light of what we did achieve under Fergie, which almost makes it harder because we went through so much success. And, you know, it's been problematic. But yeah, as of today, I like the squad a little bit more. I like some of the players a little bit more. I think we've got some icky personalities out of our squad, which has helped. Mm-hmm. But in Eric, I trust. I really do. I think he's great. I think he's going to be fantastic. As long as if we keep the Glazers, if we don't keep the Glazers and someone comes out, comes in to run the club, as long as they keep him and they actually funnel pretty much everything through, do you want this to happen? I'll go with that for now.
Can't ask for much more than that, really, can you? Can't ask Not for really. Much more at all. I mean, you've hit the, it's, again, I'm coming from different kind of level of football, I suppose, but as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, I can really, really resonate with the, it's been a really, really rough kind of, you know, 10, 15 years, really, really rough 10, 15 years or so. So, and then at least with, you know, at least you've got somebody like Ten Hag, who's, you know, bold is best, they say. And in fairness, it seems to be correct, seems to be doing quite well at the moment. It seems to be, especially over the last year, it's worked quite spectacularly. So I guess best case scenario for you, club gets bought, hopefully sooner rather than later, to give you some kind of semblance of a transfer window.
Yeah.
I mean, if looking at the team, if you could, you know, if you had to earmark two or three realistic signings that you think would massively improve that United starting 11, like what kind of, who are you looking at? Where are you looking at positionally? What do you think would make the biggest impact to that starting 11?
So I think there are two key areas that we need to really sort out, and a third and a fourth if we sort the first two, if that makes sense. But the two that are key for me is, one, we need a striker. We need a recognisable goal scorer that is going to show up and get 20, 25 goals a season just because they show up. Now, that could be someone like Harry Kane, if you're willing to pay 100 million, or it could be Rasmus Højlund, who you want to spend 45 million on, and it could be lots of people in between. There is not one person that is the only person that can come into United and play well. There are several options out there, but I want one of them to come in this summer because it's the thing that we lack. We lack that recognizable goal scorer that you can bet on a little bit to get the goals, but also be the linchpin for linking up other people and bringing other people into play and all sorts of other things that a main striker gets you. We don't have one. We really need one. So that's the first one. I would personally veer at this point, because of the finances, because of the hardball nature of the transfer market at the moment that we're seeing, with people like Mason Mount at Chelsea not coming to United, having had three bids on him so far. Because of that, I'd probably veer away from the likes of Harry Kane, because I think you're just paying overly for the age that he's at and, you know, the experience, absolutely. But I think Tottenham would fleece United on that one because they wouldn't allow him to go for, you know, as much as they would if it was Bayern Munich instead, for example. So I think we'll probably end up with someone like Rasmus Højlund or somebody like that instead, which is fine. The other one is that central midfield role. And it's not that we haven't got a good central midfield three. I think when we play our three of Casemiro, Eriksen and Fernandes, I think it's excellent. I think it's balanced. I think it's experienced, but I think it's got energy in there and it's got, you know, everything you need. But the problem is, Rich, is that not all three of those are going to play every game. And the minute you fall away from those three, it's not really that good. You know, when you're trying to improve and catch somebody like City, who are basically the best in the world of what they've got at the moment, and you're relying on the likes of, you know, Fred, McTominay, a couple of others in there that are in and around a sort of averagely good squad player in the Premier League, you can't catch Man City with them. You just can't. And there are too many times over the last decade where those have been our starting midfield, let alone backups. And that's been a big area where we haven't improved. So what we need is to keep those three, and we need two new central midfielders in there, getting rid of the likes of Fred and McTominay, with all the love in the world for the amount of stuff they've done. But we need better ones, and we need the likes of, you know, Mason Mount. Dare I even say, you know, should we be in the conversation for Rice? I mean, we probably should. And if it's not Rice, should it be like Casado at Brighton or somebody like that that's going to come in and add something to our midfield? We should be involved. Tonali's just gone to Newcastle for 50 million or whatever it was, £47 million. Should we have been in that conversation? Were we in that conversation? And we just don't know whether we were or not. But there are players that are being identified out there to come in and play these types of roles. And I'm not sure United have done fantastically identifying them and then getting them over the line. I still feel that's the case at the moment. And it's being, you know, the takeover of the club is being used as a part of a reason why that is. But ultimately, whether it's the Glazers or not, we should have the finances to do a couple of deals this summer, and we're not getting them done yet. So those are my two main ones. Then you have the question, is De Gea going to stick around in goal? Because his contract's up this summer and there doesn't seem to have been a new deal signed yet. And do the club want him? Does he want to stay? All that kind of stuff. And if we have to get rid of him, then obviously we're in replacement. But then we just got Deadwood, Rich. We've got like, there's at least another six players in that squad who just need to leave. We're looking at the likes of, you know, I don't know, some of these may have already gone in some form because it's sometimes difficult to keep up. But Alex Telles, Eric Bailly, Harry Maguire, Fred McTominay, Anthony Elanga, Anthony Martial. You know, there's a list of players that they're not going to drag us to Man City. They're just not.
No.
And we need to change them to ultimately be able to find ways in which we can improve ourselves and move forward. But getting them out of the club is impossible because we pay them such stupidly high wages for average, at best, Premier League players, ultimately. And that's our big problem over the last, you know, few years. So there's lots in there. Central central defence, if Maguire goes, I think we need a reinforcement there, maybe. But mostly it's about that striker for me and that central midfield spot. If we can do those two things in the summer, I'll be ecstatic. But above all of it, if we can kick the Glazers to the curb and get somebody else in, even if they're not ideal in their own ownership, I'll be happy with that, I think.
Sure. Sure. I mean, fingers crossed, you know, the central midfield market at the moment seems to be considerably more lucrative than the striker market because there just seems to be all these really big name central midfielders that might be available at the moment. You know, you see the likes of Tonali at Newcastle is a real head scratcher. Like, if he was available, there aren't many midfields that he doesn't improve by coming into it. Like Declan Rice being available, you've hit the nail on the head there. He makes that United midfield better for sure. You know, your players like, you know, Caicedo, wonderful. Turam at Nice, you know, he's been linked to a lot of clubs already, but he's fantastic. Strikers, there seem to be a bit more of a premium. Like there aren't many big name strikers out there at the moment that seem to be keen on moving. I mean, Harry Kane for me, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think if he goes to United, I think that Spurs absolutely drag them over the price. I think it would be astronomical, and I think it would be 20, 30 million higher than if he was to go somewhere else in Europe. But if he is thinking about leaving, you'd probably see him wanting to stay in the Premier League because he wants the, you know, he's not far off Shearer's record now. So if he stays in the Premier League, he's going to get it. It would be, for me, the way I was, if Kane went to United, I would see it very similarly to the Van Persie move, you know. 10, 12 years ago, like proven goal scorer, he's going to come in, it'll bag you 2025, and those could be the 2025 goals that, you know, drag you up there, you know, Man City level. We've seen what Haaland's done this season. You know, Haaland's just turned up, been prolific, and he's, you know, essentially dragged City, you know, at times underperforming City, you know, level and then past Arsenal, taking them to a title. So big goal scorer could be the key. You never know. So I've got hopes for you. I hope it all goes well. Just I want to see you happy, Kev.
It just all I know of my time watching football is it doesn't have to be the £100 million man that comes in. It can be somebody else, and it will still work if it's the right type of character and the right type of skill set. You know, and I think that somebody like Ten Hag and the staff that he's got around him can identify a couple of people that maybe make us all go, oh, that's an interesting one, because that's something that I think has been missing from United for a little while. You know, we did it a little bit last summer. Martinez has come in, looked excellent. Casemiro, we paid a decent amount for Casemiro for the age that he is, but he's come in and really demonstrated what he can do. I'm really looking forward to this summer, somewhere along the line going, oh, that's an interesting signing. I think it will be great, but it wasn't one that was automatically thought that was going to happen. So we'll see what happens, but
we'll see. We will absolutely see. Hey, we'll catch back up in about a month's time and we'll just be saying, don't sign anybody.
I'll be crying, you know, sitting in the corner terrible. Going, they won't sell my club. Leave, please, leave.
Sorry, but football's terrible. Let's find a new sport. Just before we start to wrap up, Kev, because we've got a couple of announcements to make at the end of podcast.
Yep.
But just before we start to, I'd just like to we'll try and quick fire it just for the sake of it. I'm going to ask you to name with a 4-4-2 starting formation, Kev. All-time favourite, Manchester United 11.
Okay. Just
doesn't necessarily have to be the best, but players that you have, your favourite players to make up an 11. And just because I think I like this, it's always got a bit of good fun, isn't it?
We like this. You'll be interested to know that maybe I have been thinking a little bit about this as we've spoken, because you asked me to think about it a bit. There are three positions where I've basically got an and or.
That's fine.
You know, not sure absolutely which one, an either or, should I say. I'm not quite sure. But other than that, I think I'm pretty much set. So, okay, 4-4-2, Man United starting at best 11 for me. The Great Dane has got to be in goal, Schmeichel. Over Van der Sar, over De Gea, there's a conversation for each of those in their own way. But Schmeichel was the guy for me. I think he's the best I've ever seen do the goalkeeping position. So that's my number one. At right back, I think he has transitioned into punditry and other things exceptionally well. I love what he does on the overlap. It's got to be Gary Neville. There is no other better right back that I've seen play for Man United over the last 30 years. There just hasn't been. We've had some okay ones, but I think it's actually a position a lot of time where we struggled to find that other Gary Neville, as it were, because he was just consistent and good at what he did. So Gary Neville at right back. Left back, this isn't one of my either or, but it could have been. I was umming and ahhing a little bit for Patrice Evra, but I can't look past Dennis Irwin. Now, there'll be a section of the podcast listeners that will have watched Evra play, and he was exceptional, and I thought he was an amazing left back for United. But there'll be a section that haven't really seen Dennis Irwin play. And the thing that I love about Dennis Irwin more than anything else is he never got under a 7.5 average rating for any game that he ever played in. He never got a 9, very rarely got a 9. He sometimes did, but he never got a 6, ever. I think it's renowned that he made basically one complete and total error in his time that he was at Man United playing the game. As a left fullback, he was right-footed as well, so he was an interesting type of player. But Dennis Irwin, if you haven't seen him, he's just ultra reliable, so he would be my left back. One of my two central defenders is an absolute cert, and the first of my either or is in the second central defensive position. So there are five really fantastic central defenders that I've watched at Man United, and they are Bruce and Pallister as a partnership. They are Jaap Stam, and they are Vidic and Ferdinand. To my mind, those five in any combination would be pretty spectacular. Stam is the one that I love more than anything. And it's for one or two little simple things. There is that image. Forgive me if I get this wrong. It was either against Zamorano or somebody like that who was playing, I think, for maybe Inter or something like that, where he was constantly backing into Stam and trying to shift him out of position. And Stam was literally just stood there looking at him going, "What are you doing? For goodness sake. I'm going nowhere. You can't do that to me. I'm just going to stand it." It was brilliant. I love him. He was such a great defender and great on the ball. So Jaap Stam is one. And then it's a pick'em on the other ones. Is it going to be someone like Steve Bruce or Vidic, a bit more kind of grrr? Or is it going to be the subtle playmaker defender of Ferdinand or Gary Pallister, that kind of thing? I'm probably going to go with Ferdinand, a little bit more subtle. But I think specifically Steve Bruce, I think, is very underrated, and I think Vidic is an absolute beast. So Stam and Ferdinand could have been anyone. Across the midfield, in the center of midfield, it's a non-conversation. It's Roy Keane and Paul Scholes. I mean, you know, I watched them for so years, that class of 92 coming through, and the likes of Keane in the midst of it holding them together and stuff is immense. There is a little bit of a question for the wide areas, though. So you've got Beckham, who I think delivers a there's no one that delivers a better ball on the right-hand side as a cross or a free kick or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he has a lot of good work rate. Drove England forward as well in a lot of ways. So Beckham's in the conversation. On the other side, in my sort of heyday, would have been Ryan Giggs. Don't particularly support a lot of the stuff he may have done away from the football ground itself, but sometimes you have to be able to say he was still an excellent footballer And so he's in the conversation. But then where do you put Ronaldo? I mean, Ronaldo of the most recent iteration at United was a disaster, hated every second of it, shouldn't have come back. But in his day before he went to Real Madrid, for a season and a half before he went to Real Madrid, there was nobody better. There really wasn't. But I wouldn't play him up front. So where do you play him? And which of the three do you drop? So I'm going to go Beckham on the right, I think, because I love a set piece delivery and I love his crossing, and he works, you know, with his best mate Gary Neville on the right. And then it's the either or on Giggs or Ronaldo. And I'll leave other people to make that choice. I think possibly Ronaldo, just because of the impact of the game that he's had in general. But for goodness sake, it's Ryan Giggs and look what he won. And then you move up front, and I've got one certainty and one slight, not sure. The certainty, Looney Tune, flawed genius, but Cantona would be the first player on my team sheet. He just would, for what he did in those sort of like three, four seasons at the peak of his time at United. I don't think you'll ever see it again in a lot of ways. I think he was exceptional. Complete Looney Tune. And I don't like what he did occasionally, like, you know, kicking fans and other bits and pieces. I see the flaw in him. He was so good. And then it's one of several again, you know, Ruud van Nistelrooy or Robin van Persie or Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for his bench work, or Rooney as the top goal scorer for United ever. Could you have put Ronaldo up there? Maybe Mark Hughes back in the day was one of the first Cantona partnerships, and it could be any of them. I think work rate, you'd probably give it to Rooney, but I think the one that is really, really hard done by in all of that is Ruud van Nistelrooy, who I think was an exceptional goal scorer. But I'm going to chuck Rooney in there for the work rate and the other things that he does as well. So that's my 11. There are lots of very, very unlucky players in there, and lots that I probably haven't even thought about this morning that in a couple of days from now, I go, oh, I should have thought about him. But there you go.
No, it's solid. And I think when you really do, and you kind of really realise it when we sit here and have this conversation, there are certain positions that United have just been blessed in over the past couple of decades, especially like centre-backs, strikers. There are so, so many that you could choose from that are just absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And then the players that they don't necessarily have the depth or number of options in, still blessed with some of the best to have ever done it. You know, like if you think of like strikers is the prime, is the perfect example there. You could have gone for Rooney, you could have gone for Van Nistelrooy, you could have gone for Van Persie, Mark Hughes, you know, Andy Cole, Dwight York got to be in the conversation.
Didn't mention either of those.
Solskjaer, they don't even get in, but most of the clubs, like, they'd be the first players in there. Like you've got all these options. But when it comes to that central midfield, you go, well, it's clearly Keenan Scholes, but there aren't, but you haven't got the volume of just world-class midfielders that you've had in that position, in those roles over the past couple of decades.
Sure.
But the really, really good ones that you have had have been two of the best to have ever done it. So it doesn't really matter. So it's very fortunate in that respect. You know, that some positions, choice after choice after choice, others limited, but the limited ones are the limited ones you have just happen to be some of the best ever. So
sure,
that's
the one central midfielder that I'm thinking is probably really unlucky, and again it'll be generational as to what the viewers actually know of him, was Brian Robson. I mean, for goodness sake, England captain, Man United captain, absolute stalwart, absolute Trojan in there. Injury prone a little bit here and there, absolute. But yeah, he misses out a little bit. And I think that's a little harsh on him, but it's still Keenan Scholes.
Absolutely. Exactly. You can't look past that. You absolutely cannot look past that. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for that, Kev.
I feel like
we've gotten to know you a little bit better. It's been lovely.
I'm in that really weird situation, Rich, is that our current recording is at about, I don't know, hour and 18 minutes, because we spent a couple of minutes talking. So we've got going for about an hour and 18, something like that. I've literally no idea what I've said, but I hope it's been really interesting and lovely. I have not a clue what we talked about, but all I know is at the time I was having a lovely time, even if I actually couldn't remember the point I was trying to make at one point.
Yeah, more of a, you know, there were times more of a manifesto than an interview in certain bits and pieces, but hey, you said what you said and you stand by it, and I respect it
absolutely.
Oh, right then, I mean, just before we wrap up, we've got a couple of announcements to make, haven't we, Kev?
We have.
We've got some announcements to make. We touched upon it earlier, 29th of July, Slough, Arbor Park, Football Manager Therapy, live podcast, a Football Manager Creators game, a real-life Slough-friendly in between both of those things. What an incredible day. Please come. You should absolutely come. You should come. Are you busy? You're not busy. Everyone should come. Everyone should come. Couple of exciting announcements have been made about this, but one's already been made. We're going to make one ourselves. Firstly, I think earlier this week on stream, Callum announced, the organizer, our friend, Y Callum, our co-host, Y Callum, the man who's done all of this because Sunshine he's terrific. The Sunshine Boy, the happiest boy I've ever seen in my life. He's organized all of this. He made an announcement on his stream. Obviously, they've been announcing players over the last week, obviously. Look at me doing a football. Loads and loads of cool people from the community. You've got former podcast guests like Second Yellow Card. Tom FM is going to be there. RDF Tactics. Steve Hood. Me. Gavin Barash. Henrik. Like, these are just the ones I'm thinking off the top of my head. There's been about 25 that have been announced, and everybody's amazing, and I can't wait. Malteser Falcon's going to be there. The People's Champ from the playoffs, Tim Lewis, is going to be there. Oh my gosh, so many people are going to be there. But we've realised that we've got all these football, all these players that are keen to play football, but we need somebody to organise them. We need somebody to manage them. So they've announced we've got one. We've got at least one manager. They've announced a Kev. It's not this Kev. It's the other Kev.
It's the other Kev.
Lelujo.
Good
old Lelujo. Oh,
bless him.
So Lelujo is going to be managing one of the two teams on the 29th, which I'm very, very excited about. Even if he's not my manager, I'm still excited. Lelujo is going to be there. That's cool. You should come and see Lelujo. Lelujo will be there.
So I think it was on like Thursday or Friday this last week where Callum announced that Lelujo was going to be one of the two team managers. Mm-hmm. And on that day, Lelujo put a tweet out suggesting, oh, that's my face. By the way, for anybody on my team, pre-season starts now. Get yourselves down the gym. Get yourselves into training. We're going to outwork them if nothing else. Do a football. Something like that anyway, which I thought was excellent. So, you know, good luck to anybody on Kev's team because he's going to work you hard, apparently.
Absolutely. And it's what I'm here to do. I'm here to be worked hard. We were talking about this before the podcast went live. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing that Callum has done is that he has got so many different people in the wider FM community just going out and regularly exercising, including me. And I don't regularly exercise. You can take regularly out of that sentence. I don't exercise at all. And I am, because I want to be good. I want everyone to tell me I've done well. But there are going to be people at the game who are not only going to be watching the game, but an audience. We're going to have fans in. We're going to have players. We're going to have management. There's also going to be commentary. There's going to be a live commentary team. A live commentary team on the day.
Wow.
Kev, is there anybody you can think of that might be part of that live commentary team on the day at Arbor Park on the 29th?
There's several people, but I can't mention any of them because I don't know if they've been announced yet or not. So we'll just talk about the fact that I'm going to be there. Woo-hoo!
It's Kev!
So what I can tell you at this point is that there are going to be one or two of us doing it. We are going to tag in and out a little bit and rotate around and all that kind of stuff. But we're also going to be led by a wonderful guy from Slough themselves, who is their commentator within their setup for anybody that needs that kind of commentary thing. So they have a commentator for their setup. So he's going to be leading us through it. And we're going to be dropping in two or three of the FM guys, me being one of them, to just talk a little bit about who it is that we're watching and what they do and how they do it and all that kind of great stuff. So yeah, I'm going to be part of the commentary team, which is brilliant. I've said this before to a few people along the way. The thing that I love about this is everybody else is having to run lots and get fit to try and run around a football pitch. I just have to talk more to be able to commentate better. And my wife is really unhappy. So, you know, it's just what it is. But I'm going to have a great time. I've got no idea how it's going to go, but we're going to have a great time doing it. And yeah, I'm going to be on the commentary team for the live stream. So if you can't make the actual date itself to get to Slough, if for some reason you're not willing to get on planes or, you know, other, from other countries or whatever. I mean, you need to think about your priorities, obviously. Mm. But if you can't, then think about the live stream. There'll be more info coming out about the live stream as we get towards the actual event as to how that's going to work and how you can get yourself as part of that, etc. But absolutely consider it, because it's going to be a fun thing to watch, even if it is just watching your favorite Football Manager content creator within 5 minutes realize they've still got another 85 to go. And how am I going to do it? It's going to be a lot of fun, I assure you.
It's going to be great fun. And the fact that Kev's there on commentary just makes it a little bit better for me. It's going to be great because after I've given the ball away for the 17th time, I was like, oh, he's not very good. Kev will be there. Like, no, stop it. He is. He's trying really hard. Bless him. He's doing his absolute best. And that's what I need.
Or it might just be the moment of my absolute heel turn that's been building for the last 3.5 years. Who knows? It's coming, Rich. At some point when nobody expects it, bam, I'm going to be
heel
flip
Kev.
And I'm just going to be the heel. Maybe it's then. The other thing that we can say is that as part of the podcast later in the evening, I might be handing out a player of the match award and a couple of other random weird awards as well that I come up with during my time as a commentator. So, you know, I do take bribes. I am willing to, you know, accept all sorts of offers. So any of the players out there, get your offers in now and I'll see what I can do for you. But yeah, that is one of the things we're going to do. As part of the FMT pod in the evening, I will be presenting a player of the match award. Now, what the actual award is, it's probably going to be a handshake and a hearty congratulations, but the kudos will be there for it. So bear that
fantastic
in mind.
Fantastic. It's just Kev taking a bribe, by the way. Here's the bribe. Over it goes. Over it goes. Oh, it's gone the wrong way. There you go. There you go. That's now with you. That'll be with you shortly.
Thank you. That's amazing.
We really do, for an audio podcast, we do rely on visual comedy.
It's
far
so
too
sad,
much,
isn't it, really?
We really do. We really, really do. But we'll never change. We'll never change. Oh, wonderful. Kev, I don't know about you, mate.
Go on.
But that, to me, feels like a podcast.
It really did. A lot of ramblings, excellent, incoherent, sometimes coherent. That sounds like a podcast to me.
Yes. That's just what we do. This is what we play for, boys. This is why we do what we do. Kev, before we wrap up, we've talked about what you do a lot, but where can the people find you doing those things that you do on the internet?
Yes, you can find me at the United City FM, both on Twitter and Twitch, most weekday afternoons, 3 till 5 p.m. UK time over on Twitch. We're still doing our Homeward Bound challenge, currently in Serbia. It's going very well in Serbia. Will it go as well wherever we move next? Who knows? Come and join us for that. But that's where you'll find me. You'll also find me on things like the FM Playoffs on their panels. I work behind the scenes with some of those guys as well, doing that lovely stuff, which I can't rate highly enough. Love them all to pieces. And I would encourage you to go and check out the scene. If you haven't for a little while just gone down the list of Twitch streamers or YouTube content creators and found a random newbie to go and listen to and drop in on a stream to, can I encourage you to do that this week? Because that's how we grow, everybody, you know, supporting everybody else. So yeah, go find somebody new to watch, but if you're around, come and join me. Perfect. What about you, Rich? Where can people find you this week? Are we doing more scary stuff, or are we doing even scarier stuff of FM, or what?
There'll be some spooks this week, and I am due some FM. It's been a couple of weeks. Life has just been really, really hectic, and I haven't had much time for streaming, which has been a shame. But there will be more streams this week. Two streams, minimum two streams, maybe more streams. Who knows? You can find them twitch.tv/RichOwensFM. We have a great time there, so please come and hang out. But just to echo Kev's sentiments, just go live. If you enjoy FM, click on Who's Playing FM and go watch somebody you've never watched before, because you are only ever two clicks away from finding your new favorite streamer. So give it a go. Find a new person. Tell them Football Manager Therapy sent you, and they won't have any idea what you're talking about, because that's what we do. Lovely, 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 lovely stuff. Shout out, Jebberu. There we go. This has been another really, 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 really great fun. Great fun. Words. Hello. Talking. It's been a great episode. I've had
a
lovely
time. We can
do this, Rich. Loads
of fun. We can do this.
Thank you. We're so close. Nearly got a whole way through an episode without flubbing it, but we ruined the outros. What a numpty. It's been great. I've had a really, really nice time today. It's been a pleasure to get spend the morning with Kev. And I hope you've enjoyed it too. Thank you very, very much for joining us once again for another episode of Football Manager Therapy. We will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.